Hey everybody, it's Michelle. I am here to talk to you about our Patreon page. This is the page that you can go to help support our podcast with a monthly donation. When you commit to supporting us, you can get additional bonus content such as extra podcasts, our favorite playlists, our show notes, and eventually we would like to have merchandise to sell like t-shirts and baseball caps, and we would let you have first dibs at those. Of course, because we are coffee moms, we are offering membership levels that are as follows: the coffee membership, the cold brew membership, or the espresso membership. Now, no pressure whatsoever, but if you do love our podcast and you would like to help support it, you can go to patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. That is Patreon, patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. There you can choose a membership level that works for you. Melissa and I want to thank you in advance for your love and your support.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, hey, everybody.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is the Messy Bun Mamas podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Hopefully this will be an exciting episode for everybody.
Yes. I mean, I'm kind of excited.
We're talking about something that we like to do. So,
right.
So, there's a blog post from biglifejournal.com, and it's called The Top 20 Movies About Resilience for Children. And we will go through those and talk about the point of each movie and kind of our thoughts and opinions on them. But first, Mama Moment of the Week. I feel like we should have like special music.
Right? We should have an intro music. Can go with our dad jokes that my kid was supposed to give us like 6 months ago.
I've been working with Joe telling him knock knock jokes, so hopefully we'll be able to record something soon.
Joe and John could probably record something.
That would be super cute.
Crack
though,
each
right?
other up. Yeah, right.
All right, you go first.
Okay, so my mom moment this week is, okay, guys, I don't know if you know this, and this is going to come out a long time from now, but Raya got released on Disney Plus. Okay, so we didn't have to pay for premium access, and we finally got, listen, we were at like the debut night. We planned family movie night. We are watching this movie, Raya and the Last Dragon. This is what we are doing with our lives.
Right.
So we watched it, and I don't know. The movie was fine. The dragons were a little furry and weird. That was weird to me, but whatever. The nice thing about it, though, my mom moment is really just the fact that we've created this thing in our house that during family movie night, you know, we eat pizza, we make popcorn, we all sit down and cuddle on the couch, all of us.
Right.
And it's just become this tradition in our house that, like, if we've assigned a family movie night, this is just what we do.
Right.
The kids kind of get to stay up late. You know, they always get, usually get ice cream, you know, towards the end of the movie. And it's just, I don't know. I'm hoping that one day we'll be able to do family game night too. The kids are still a little young for that, but it's just nice to start developing those traditions with my kids. So that's my mama moment. It just made me smushy because it was just like all week long, I was just like, family movie night on Friday, Raya and the Last Dragon, finally.
And I was going to say, it's something exciting because it's not something that we've seen 200 times because,
well, and usually family movie night is not
right.
We try really hard. So what we do is we cycle through, usually me, Mike, John, sometimes Malcolm will have a movie that he wants to watch or whatever, Mike claims that he's never allowed to watch the movie that he wants to watch. Whatever. But I mean, sometimes I'll watch like a movie from the 90s that like I liked when I was, you know, seven or eight or whatever. Like we watched Camp Nowhere before. I don't know if you saw that. You might be a little too old for that movie, but it was in the 90s. We've watched like Cheaper by the Dozen. Well, I'm just saying when I was eight, you were how old? Like, I'm sure you weren't sitting around watching Camp Nowhere.
I'm not even going to respond to this. She's poking the bear right now. She's trying to see if she can get a reaction from me, but I'm not going to get it.
But no, I just like that. Because, like, as a grown-up now, like, I look back on, like, our family game nights and our family – we didn't have family movie nights, but I look back on our family game nights, and it's just, like, it holds a really special place in my heart. So it was just – it was nice to see the construct that we set up in our house of, like, this is family movie night. Everybody, like, knew. And when we started doing this thing, like, in the middle of family movie night, like, Michael will take – we'll pause the movie, so – and Michael take the boys, and they'll go get to the gas station and get, like, ice cream or something. So we have, like, a break in the middle, so it's not, like, just a two-hour movie.
Straight through, and they're bored – not bored, necessarily.
But their attention's gone. Yeah. Exactly. So they get to go on this, like, little trip with Daddy, and then they come back, and then we finish the movie. So yeah, that's why Mama went.
I would like to have a family movie night sometime.
Tell Dan to stop working so much. You can have a family movie morning. Have some scrambled eggs.
We had a tense conversation. It wasn't really an argument. It was just I can be passionate about him being home with Joe just because my dad worked so many hours he's like, you know, I struggle because every time I think when a AM shift comes available, that do I really want to take it? And I'm like, yes, you do. Yes. And he's like, I don't know. Then I'd have to get up this early in the morning and I would lose this much money. And I'm like, oh, you know, me. Enneagram 4. What's money? We got each other. And he's like, I still have to pay the bills myself.
What's money? We have each other. So you would say that.
I would say that. So no, I think family movie nights will be fun when we can get to that opportunity.
So does he just not tell you when first shifts become available because you like
he does. And he'll, you know, and I'll weigh out with him the pros and cons of it. And usually it comes down to the money. Aspect. Because he gets like a 10% shift differential. And I mean, that's huge. And so it will go silent. I won't hear anything about it. And finally I'll be like, so what happened? He's like, oh, they offered it to me and I declined it. Okay, well, I'm just going to move on with my life.
Right. Alrighty then.
So, all right. We digressed from mom moments of the week. I see Melissa like getting itchy over there. She's like, we got a show to do, Michelle. It's not therapy for Michelle O'Brien. So my mom moment of the week, if you listened to our episode last week, I talked about how we had a really fun moment in a really tense week. So my mom moment for this week is based on last week as well, because I said something that as the words were coming out of my mouth, I cringed so hard.
Did you say a momism?
I kind of did, yes. and it's one that just made me cringe because I know that if or when I've heard this, it always makes me like feel bad about myself. So I had to actually stop and apologize to my son. So this is not a good mom. But he was sick for a couple of weeks and he's apparently starting to feel himself again. And he's making up for all the good he was in the last couple of weeks. Because he was just doing weird things. And at one point, on one day, I had gotten after him a couple of times while we were outside. His dad had asked him not to do some things, and he still continued to do them. And I'm like, can you not listen? Do you not hear? Is there something wrong with you? Should we take you to the doctor? Should we have them look at your ears? What's going on with you? And so finally his dad's like, Joe, just go inside. Go inside. So we thought he had gone inside, and we walk up to the back door, and here he is opening and closing the back door. And in between opening and closing it, he's leaning down, picking up gravel and throwing it into our house. And I looked at him, and here it comes. I said, what in the world is wrong with you? And as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, Michelle. So I had to go apologize to him.
Do you know how many times I've said that before? Boys do the craziest things.
They do. I mean, literally, I was just to that point. I was just like, what is wrong with you? Why is it that you're finding every single thing to irritate me?
Why are you throwing gravel in the house? Like, why is this a thing that you're doing?
And this was the day after he had peed on me.
So she was still kind of salty at him.
What is wrong with you? What is going on with your head? And he's just like, I don't know. You're too young for me to be dealing with this already. Because I remember, I don't know specifically if my mom and my dad and stepmom said these things to me, but I do remember them saying them to my brothers. Just like, what's wrong with you? What? And I just remember that being like a crushing statement to me. So that's why I apologized to him. I'm like, mommy shouldn't have said it that way. Mommy should have just
said, also shouldn't have been throwing gravel in the house. Right?
Mommy should have just very calmly said, Joe, it's not a good idea to throw gravel in the house. So that was my mom moment of the week. So if you ever think that we're perfect, just prove
you. I don't know why you would think that.
I am definitely not perfect.
You want to listen to the podcast, if that's what you think.
You definitely haven't been listening. All right, so top 20 movies about resilience for children. So just I want to give definition to the word resilient and why we want to teach our kids about resilience. And that's having the ability to bounce back.
Yeah.
Yes, so you get something bad that happens in life. Bounce back, right? So
I'm just sitting here like, yeah.
Yeah, right. You're right. The first movie is one I haven't watched it in a long time, but I do remember it being super cute. Aquila and the Bee. So it says resilience can't exist without adversity. An 11-year-old Aquila faces plenty, but the death of her father and her crime-ridden neighborhood don't stop her from dreaming big. When Aquila chooses to compete in the Scripps National Spelling Bee, she models how combining a goal with hard work can create magic.
Wasn't that based on a true story?
I believe so.
I've never seen that movie.
I do remember it being very cute. And there was like lots of moments of adversity.
Yeah.
And I mean, and really for a kid to like work through that, it was, right. I mean, if it was a true story, I would... You're a better person than me, Aquila, because I would have just given up.
Maybe we should Google what Aquila is doing now.
Maybe we can. Melissa's going to look up that while I go on to the next movie, which is one of my favorites, Moana. A powerful tale about listening to the voice inside, despite being drawn to the ocean, Moana is taught her place is safe in the village. True to herself, she undertakes a perilous voyage by sea to restore the heart of Tafiti to save her people. But when she faces a major moment of self-doubt, the guiding spirit of Grandma Tala reminds her of who she is. And I really love this movie specifically for that reason. And we've discussed that before, is that I love the fact that her family tells her, you're not safe anywhere. Don't go beyond these boundaries. You're safe right here. and she has to defy that and move out in order to save her village and her family and friends and things like that. So that's one of my favorites.
So I have two things to say. One, Aquila and the Bee is not a true story.
It is not a true story.
Not okay. a true story. Two, I will say that I think, obviously, I agree with you about the Moana, the family thing. But I will say that the part in that movie that I feel like makes me like sit my shoulders back and like get a little taller when she does it is when Maui leaves her and like, she almost gives up.
Yep.
And then she finds the strength to keep going.
Yeah.
Because there's so many times in life where somebody who you thought was going to help you or, you know, give you aid is going to be like, actually, I don't want to do that. And, you know, how you show yourself to survive that situation is going to, you know, show profound strength or profound weakness.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're a Moana movie house. Like, seriously, I think that Rayla can hear the like weird echoing at the beginning of the movie. Like, ah, across the house, she'll like sprint to the living room.
One day I'm gonna trade her for Joe, and her and I are just gonna sit and watch Disney movies all day, and I know we're gonna have a grand time.
Tangled, Moana, Frozen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl, all Disney movies are so much better than boy ones.
They sure are. Next next movie is Trolls.
Yes.
Yes. So number one, I love like the upbeat happy music
that,
but I love that Princess Poppy is the definition of optimism. She faces every challenge with confidence in her abilities. Giant spiders, freezing cold weather, and lava pits are no match for her positive attitude. On a mission to rescue her friends from the miserable Bergens, Poppy reminds us to get back up again each time we fall. And I'm going to tell you my favorite part of this movie, because she does go through the whole movie just being upbeat and encouraging her friend Branch. Like, you know, life really is not Debbie Downer. As terrible. I mean, he's probably a four. Life is not bad. You know, you can't expect bad from everything that you do.
Yeah.
And so my favorite part is when they've been captured and she's just like, this is it.
She gave up,
lost her color and everything. And it was Branch, the one that always has something negative, came up to her and said, hey, you can't give up now.
Seriously, who almost cried when Poppy lost her color?
Me.
Let's like raise our hands.
Like,
let's look
every time. Like, every time.
I'm just like, where's her color? She's not pink anymore.
So yeah, I truly love Trolls.
I will say that one of my favorite parts of that movie is the fact that Poppy becomes friends with somebody who she's not supposed to be friends with. And I love those parts in movies when, you know, they become friends with people they're not supposed to be friends with, because I think that's important for kids to, you know, befriend people who don't look like them, don't talk like them, don't act like them. And
I think it's important for adults.
Yeah.
Something we could all learn.
Let's teach an old dog new tricks. Michelle's in the miracle working business. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it
is important for adults to do that too. So adults watch Trolls so you can learn that skill.
Right.
It also has good music.
Can I tell you that some of my best friendships have been unexpected friendships?
Right. She's talking about me, guys, just so you know.
Her and a couple others. I mean, she's just my newest.
But it's true. I agree with you. Like, there's lots of times where it's like I've befriended somebody who it's like, never did I think that we would be friends. We don't have a lot in common. I mean, listen, guys. Okay, one of my best friends is a single female and like ride or die, she's my best friend. And my other best friend is a single male who is no kids, no whatever. He's gay. These are my longest best friends, like 10 years. These are my best friends. Like, it's like, and I can't even say, like, when we started being friends, like, we had so much more in common, because that's not really true. It's just, these are the people who, like, earth-shattering moments, like, they're just there to hold me up if I fall.
They get you.
Yep.
And that's, I think that's the hardest part about finding a real friend is, and I guess maybe that's why it's the unexpected people, because it's the unexpected people that take the time to really get
right
to know you.
It's true.
All right, next movie. Brave. I'm going to say her name wrong, but I love this movie too.
Merida
defies Merida. Her family's wishes, leading to a terrible curse on her mother. I'm going to tell you, this whole process is probably something that would happen to me. I would totally get it all wrong. She must then rely on her courage and archery skills to set things right. As Merida and her mother grow closer, she learns how love helps us be brave. I don't know. Overall, I just like this movie. I don't think one part in particular sticks out. I do think this is going to kind of contradict what I said last week. If you listened last week to my recommendations, me talking about female empowerment and stuff, but my favorite part of the movie is when the men were competing. For her hand in marriage, and she won it herself and just smashes them all. Right? I'm like, yes,
I'm gonna win myself.
Yes.
Here's my problem with that movie.
Okay.
The preview made it sound like it was like this female who was gonna go on this like adventure, and she had a thing that she had to do. She was gonna face warriors. Seriously, her mom and brothers turned into bears. Because I was so disappointed when I saw it. I was like, what is this? Like, why didn't you just say her mother got a curse instead of like she was this warrior who was going to go on this adventure and face adversaries? Like, right. It was misleading.
Right. Well, she's kind of in that mess because of herself. So.
But it wasn't like you weren't going on an adventure to face warriors.
Right.
Like, you wish that your mom would go away. She got turned into a bear. And like, I don't know. And this probably isn't going to be a problem because you're not going to know, you know, moving forward, nobody's going to watch the previews of Brave moving up right to it. They're just going to either watch it or not watch it because that's the world that we live in now.
Right.
But let me tell you, when it came out, I was like super upset about it. Obviously, I haven't gotten over it.
So this next movie I've not watched, but I'll read it off just because it does sound kind of interesting. It's called Penguin Bloom. Based on the best-selling book and true story, the Bloom family faces a tragic accident on vacation in Thailand. The older children will be swept up in the tale of how injured bird Penguin helps the Blooms accept and even embrace their changed lives. So, I don't know. It might be something fun for me to watch. I don't know if Joe would watch it, but...
I'm not big into penguins. They're not like, I don't get smushy about penguins. Listen, they smell. Go to the zoo.
Look, Milwaukee County Zoo. I do not disagree with Melissa right now. And if you ever listen to this, please note, can you make something else your frontline exhibit?
Right? You walk in and all you smell is bird poop.
And dead fish.
Right?
Like, it just inundates you. But I do enjoy watching them on TV. I think they're cute. they waddle.
They stink.
And the men take care of the eggs. I feel like this is something I need in my life. totally contradicting myself from last week. So the next movie I have seen as well, and it was super cute. It's called Wonder. Augie Pullman is a fifth grader with Treacher Collins syndrome, which causes him to look different from his classmates. He overcomes bullying, isolation, and deep sadness with the support of his loving family and an incredible sense of humor. Augie's story reveals how laughter and having even one good friendship can do wonders.
That sounds horrible. I mean, it sounds like a good movie, but like, oh, movies like that just make my heart hurt. Like that movie. Have you ever seen that movie with Cher?
Yes.
With Mask. That one. Yes.
Mask.
Yep.
I think about that movie all the time. It had such an impact on me.
It's me just like too.
How somebody looks or acts should not make them subject to being bullied.
Right. And I watched that movie. I haven't seen this Wonder movie, so I'll probably watch it with John. But the Mask movie, my mom had me watch it. Like, not had me watch it, but we watched it when I was younger. Because, I mean, it's, I think it's PG. I don't know. Whatever. But it's like monumentally affected my life. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, I mean, I think about it all the time, even still to this day, just the fact like that somebody could be treated differently because of the way they look. So I think that movie would be a good one for me to show the kids.
And it is rated PG, so
it's a John movie.
Next movie, I've not seen this one. Stickman. Out for a quick jog near his family tree, Stickman is taken by a dog and subsequently endures many misadventures. Used as a flagpole, a toy, and the arm of a snowman, Stickman stays focused on his goal to return home in time for Christmas. So I'm sure that's just
what is this? That sounds so cute.
So I wish that I could see all of these movies when I open up Netflix and Disney and everything. Like, where are these movies when I need them? This next one I have seen, and I'm gonna tell you, it's only like 7 to 9 minutes long, but oh my god, I cry almost every time I watch it. It's called Piper, and you can get it's a Disney short. It's this beautiful short film introduces viewers to a frightened and hungry young sandpiper. When Piper's mother doesn't return to feed her, she must try several strategies to find her own dinner. Piper watches the creatures around her and learns to face the terrifying waves in a brilliant way. Have you seen this one? So.
I shook my head. No, sorry. I forgot you guys can't see me.
So I love this because the little baby bird actually ends up showing the bigger birds how they can find food without doing it the hard way. So like an easier way of finding the food, because what happens is a wave comes and like engulfs him, and this little crab thing kind of like bumps him so that he'll open up his eyes and he sees where all these shells are that the other birds are looking for. And so then when the wave goes back and recedes, he's able to go and just easily pick out the wave. So then he's showing the other adult birds, hey, stick your head down into the water and then you can see. And so like he's pulling out all these shells. So it was just, to me, it's an inspiring story because he's teaching, he finds a new way. He's brave enough to open up his eyes and find a new way in a scary situation to take care of himself. So, and it's super short. Joel will watch it over and over and over again. I'm like, whatever. It's got a good message. So.
Right.
I will keep hitting start.
All right. So we will be right back after the short break.
All right. Welcome back. So let's get right into this. March of the Penguins is the next one.
This is the one that Morgan Freeman does, right?
Where it's like a voiceover of like this whole penguin, like enacting out a story. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you that I've watched it several times just because the story that they put along with this penguin cracks me up. I'm like, I don't know how they managed to get all of this with this one little penguin, but it's hilarious. Set in the Antarctic, this documentary follows emperor penguins on a 70-mile journey to their breeding grounds. Not every penguin survives, and those who do must still endure the difficult task of transferring and incubating their eggs. The incredible effort of the emperor penguins pays off when precious new life hatches in the frozen tundra. I don't know. I love it.
I've never seen it.
It's cute. You should watch it with John.
I just feel like it'd be boring.
It's not. It's actually entertaining. otherwise, I wouldn't have watched it a couple times. It kind of has like a documentary slash storyline. So I think that's why. But it's rated G. So maybe Malcolm would like it as well. Maiden. I've not seen this movie. It's in 1989. The first all-female crew competed in the arduous white bread round the world yacht race. This documentary traces their challenges on land and at sea including the difficult childhood of skipper Tracy Edwards. Unable to find sponsorship, Edwards purchases the secondhand yacht she renames Maiden, and with the help of her incredible crew, ultimately places second in the race. I don't know if I'd watch that one with Joe, but I don't know. Maybe. I'll put it on my list of maybes. Next is Coco. Banned from playing guitar, his greatest passion, 12-year-old Miguel, longs to connect to his musical ancestors. He inadvertently travels to the land of the dead, meeting an ally in the form of Hector. Together, Hector and Miguel heal a generations-long misunderstanding and reveal the power of staying true to your dreams. And this one I do like, just because it does hold that theme of sometimes kind of along the lines of Moana's, you gotta sometimes go with your heart and your gut versus just what everybody tells you you should be doing.
See, my issue with this movie was, like, I've never made it past the first, like, 10 minutes, guys. So, like, I'm not allowed to have much of an opinion. But it's just, like, I kind of have the same feelings with it as I do with Princess and the Frog. Which, like, because it's very, like, Dia de las Muertas heavy, so there's a lot of, like, skeleton looking like campy sort of whatever, and Princess and the Frogs has that, like,
Princess and the Frogs almost kind of scary.
It is scary. They're both kind of scary. Like, that's, I guess that's kind of why I'm just like, I don't want to watch Coco, because it's just like, there's kind of like dancing skeletons around. I don't know. But you know what? The kids really like it. So, I mean, at least they're learning good things while they're watching skeletons flop around. Whatever.
Another
movie. Somebody was like, it's got skeletons, I can be like, they're learning resilience!
My child is going to be resilient because they watch Coco. We'll see. So the next movie is Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. This is a film about failing big and the many ways we can respond to our mistakes.
So this is The Last Jedi, correct me if I'm wrong, is one of the older ones? Or no, one of the newer ones?
Older ones.
Okay.
Because they did...
Isn't that The Return of the Jedi?
Wait. Well, they did 4, 5, 6, right?
Yeah, so this is one of the, this is like the newest one.
Yes, because it came out in 2017. Sorry, friends. I had the wrong one in my mind.
Dan, are you listening? Did you hear her give incorrect Star Wars information?
You know what? I've got him, because every time I ask him a question about something in the Marvel world, he'll be like, I don't know. I'm like, then why do you act like you're an authority? So, I don't want to talk to you if you don't have any authority on this. This is a film about failing big and the many ways we can respond to our mistakes. The point of life, Jedi Master Yoda explains to Luke, is to pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery, but weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all, the greatest teacher failure is. So I think this is the one where she must go to visit him on that island. Have you seen him? No.
Listen,
I'm a nerd, so I watched them all.
I watched the one with the girl, A New Hope.
Yeah,
I don't think I watched any of them after that.
So,
sorry, kids.
I'm very dear Disney, who now owns the Star Wars saga. I'm very mad with how you ended that. So. Maybe you can rewrite it and redo it.
Resilience.
Resilience. Maybe make her... Let's end it the way that I told everyone it was going to end. That's why I'm mad. So,
because you guessed it wrong?
I guessed it wrong. Oh.
That's funny.
I wasn't too far off, though. Can I just tell you... Will I ruin it for you if I say something? She is actually from Emperor Palpatine's family. So I was like, oh, she's like a daughter from one of the Luke or somebody's families. But no, she was actually from the evil side's family. And I mean, so it shows like a good thing that no matter if...
She wasn't related to Luke and Leia?
No, I know. This is why I'm angry.
Really? I thought for sure that is what.
So, yeah. So, spoiler alert, a little late if you've not watched it. Yeah, she's related.
Listen, to you had 4 years. You're fine.
Right. I mean, if you haven't watched it by now, it's on you. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Now,
I'm laughing because that was my mom moment last week. Or my recommendation, sorry.
So, orphaned and living under the stairs at his aunt and uncle's. Can I tell you, I just started watching the first episode, the first movie the other night. Harry Potter begins receiving mysterious letters. He soon learns of his magical abilities and the talented parents who died while protecting him. Harry faces adversity with a keen intelligence and curiosity and develops friendships that connect him to his greatest strengths. I will say that watching the movie makes me want to read the books because I feel like they've left a lot out.
I've only read the first book.
Okay.
I've seen all of the movies multiple times. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't in the first book is an adolescent book. It's a young adult book. It's
right.
So I read it when I was like 20. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to read this. I don't want to continue on reading about these 10-year-old boys and their hijinks.
Bring me some vampires and werewolves.
I am reading Midnight Sun right now, so judge me. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but...
No, but I can see where, like, the resilience comes from. And I do really love those type of storylines of... like the kind of the underdog type thing, and everyone treats him very poorly. He thinks he's nothing but trash, but really he's somebody pretty special.
Yeah.
So I do like those. So I think this next one you're going to be able to speak to more than I can, because I've still not watched it, even after your recommendation, but Ruby Bridges.
Yes!
So tell me about it.
Okay, listen, guys. If you haven't heard our episode from back in February, you should listen to it. It's really good. But Ruby Bridges is a kindergartner who was sent to an all-white school during integration in the South. And, I mean, I don't know if you heard what I just said. She was a kindergartner who was sent to a white school during integration.
That's a lot to take.
By herself. I think her mom does go with her. But even still, like, they're a lower class family. She's just really smart. She tests really well. So, but I mean, she's getting picketed going into school. People are spitting on her, which shame on every single one of you. But, we watched a lot of movies like that when I was a kid, and it's true. Like, resilience to
that type of adversity. Mind. I think that's why I like true story type stuff.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, I can relate
to
that. I mean, like the Moanas and Trolls and all of that, those are good and I can get the message behind them.
But if I ever have hair that's good enough as Princess Poppy's, I mean, talk about that.
Right.
Moana's hair is pretty good too. but no, so Ruby Bridges, Selma Lord Selma, and An Ernest Green Story. Those are all the three that like I love.
Yeah. And I really do appreciate those stories because it really is. I mean, that's something that's close enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's close enough because, as Melissa likes to point out,
she's old.
I'm old.
But it mirrors a lot of what we're going through right now. It's not like this happened like 300 years ago in our country. Like,
it's
this
still
little,
a struggle.
This little girl, I mean, this happened in like, what, the 60s? Yep. I don't know if it says.
It's in the 1960s.
Yeah. 1960s. I mean, my mother went to the first integrated school in Milwaukee.
Right.
It's not like this was like my great-great-grandmother. Right. It was like my mother.
Our parents dealt with this.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a good lesson on resilience. It's a good lesson on doing the right thing in the face of adversarial, whatever, man. Do the right thing. Whatever.
Do the right thing. No, I think pointing out to just even the timeline of that, I think is healthy for everyone to step back and think about, because I hear a lot of oftentimes
people need to get over it.
Right. This has been going on for so long and so much has changed already. Blah, blah, blah. Well, not enough has changed. I think both sides of the story is some people get, no, we could still do better.
Right.
We can still do better. And on the other side is like, hey, you got to give us time. I mean, we're weeding out the bad.
Right. Just let them die. They'll all be dead soon. I apologize. I'm sorry. All right, next one.
Next.
I'm not taking that out.
Okay. I mean, that's true. Charlotte's Web. This is the 2006 version of it. I still can't get Joe to watch this one, but I haven't.
I can't get my kids to watch it either.
An idyllic farm in Maine is the backdrop for this classic tale. I have read the book to Joe, though. Determined to live through the spring, Wilbur befriends a brilliant barn spider named Charlotte and shares his goal. Brainstorming how to best save him, Charlotte hatches a perfect plan that makes Wilbur and the entire farm famous. So I think this is good just because it shows that sometimes it's who you partner with
right.
that can change your life.
It's true. Okay, so I take it back. John did watch this movie and he had a complete meltdown and didn't trust me for like 2 weeks at the end. And he was outraged that I forced him to watch this movie where, like, she dies at the end of the movie, guys. I don't know if you know that. And he was like,
spoiler alert.
He was like, what happened? What about all the babies? What's going to happen to all the babies? I'm just like, man, I don't know. Like, this is like a very common children's movie. Like, don't ask me these questions.
Next time, have him call me.
Yeah, you fours can hang out in the corner and do your watercolors while you talk about the blue sky.
Can I tell you, when my mom took us to watch Gremlins, I sobbed all the way out of the theater because they took the
Gizmo
back.
Gizmo!
And I was just like, it's not fair! It's not fair! I just sobbed. And I mean, literally, my mom was promising me everything to get me out of the movie theater.
Okay, but Gizmo was so cute.
He was so cute. So
smushy and cute.
All right. So, side note over. This next one I've not seen, but it says it's newer. It's 2020. From 2020. My octopus teacher. Near Cape Town, South Africa, filmmaker Craig Foster documents his relationship with a curious and tough young octopus. Each day for a year, he free dives into her underwater world, at one point witnessing a vicious shark attack that almost cost her her life. As she heals, Foster captures the incredible will to survive that unites all of us. It's rated G. I don't know. We may watch it. Maybe my feelings about it would change having watched it versus just reading that.
I was like, that wasn't that impressive. I'm not in love with it.
I mean, honestly, if you think about it, all animals have have resilience, right? They want to live. So, and some of them get a man and his wife who will stand guard over the nest for 2 weeks while her little baby bunnies grow to keep their dogs from eating them. It's all about who you partner with sometimes. The Pursuit of Happiness. It has been a long time since I've seen this, but it was really good. Will Smith is one of my favorite actors, though, too. Anyway,
really? So,
yeah.
Interesting.
So, based on a true story, this film follows the struggles of single father Christopher Gardner, financial crisis, homelessness, and abandonment by his wife don't stop Gardner from being a loving parent or following his dream of being a successful stockbroker. So, again, it kind of is dealing with not just a single father raising his son, but he's Black as well. So, he's struggling with all kinds of adversity. He's a single parent. He's trying to get into a successful market. He's a different color. I mean, he's
living in a bathroom at the subway station.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, so it's, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's something that I would have Joe watch now, because I'm sure he would not enjoy any of it, but definitely once he gets older I think it's something to see, because I think too many people have the impression that reaching your dream is easy.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Right. I will say that for some reason, when there are movies about single dads, I just feel so much more like heart wrench for them, because they're single dads, which I know is like everybody's like,
because you
single dads are the same as single moms. You're right. I'm not. You're right. But for some reason, it just pulls on my heartstrings so much more.
I think it's because this is going to sound heartless of me, but the single mom thing is so overplayed.
It is.
And I don't mean that in a heartless way. I mean, you just hear about it over and over and over versus, and I think it's a trend that's becoming different now of where you're seeing more single dads.
Yeah. And maybe they just always were there, but it got so overshadowed by like the deadbeat dads.
Yes.
You know, I don't
yes.
know.
Yes. There are single dads out there and they're good guys.
Kudos to you, single dads.
Good job. The next two I've not seen, so we'll gloss over these. But this is from 1989, Kiki's Delivery Service. A witch in training, Kiki delivers goods by broomstick, but not without difficulty. Her first delivery includes a lost package and a bird attack. When Kiki loses her ability to fly, she finds encouragement in the form of an artist friend. Inspired to find a new purpose, Kiki soon remembers how to fly.
I think that John has watched that.
So
that sounds like a John movie.
It's rated G. I've never even heard of it. So maybe it's something I'll watch with Joe. Kubo and the Two Strings. This is from 2016. In ancient Japan, Kubo faces mortal danger in the form of his grandfather and aunts. Kubo's mother, a once powerful witch, uses the last of her magic to accompany him on a quest for the three tools that will defeat their enemies. This film is a testament to love, which transcends time and space and can overcome any adversity.
Listen, do you hear all of these Jesus thumpers that are going to be upset with us with all these witch movies? Thanks, Michelle.
She means that facetiously. She doesn't mean your Bible thumpers. She just means that you're more spiritual than us.
You're going to make me edit that out, aren't you?
What?
You're going to make me take that out, aren't
no,
you?
No, you can keep it. Because I was being facetious as well. For some reason, it has come across to some people when we've introduced ourselves. I'm just going to side note this, that our podcast is about super spiritual things because we're Christian moms talking about life. And I've had to tell some people who have said things to us that we may be Christians, but that doesn't mean we're perfect and that we're super spiritual or anything like that. I mean, definitely we attained to be heavenly minded, but I also don't want to be so heavenly minded on no earthly good. So anyway, side note done. That's where all that came from. She's probably going to take all of this out now. Like, just in case you're listening to our show, hoping someday you're going to hear something super spiritual come out of us. I don't know. Maybe one day we will. But the last movie is Up.
Ugh.
Look, I was just thinking about this movie last night. Because this movie, I can watch the beginning of this movie 300 times, and I still cry every time at the beginning of this movie.
That montage, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Because isn't that just the way life is? Like, you have these dreams and these goals, and, like, you're saving up for it, and things come up, or things don't work out the way that you want them, and I cry every time. But an elderly widower, just in case you've not watched this movie, Carl Fredrickson refuses to let go of the past. His unlikely friendship with a persistent young Boy Scout develops in Paradise Falls, a mysterious land he only dreamed of visiting. It's there that Carl shifts his mindset, realizing that change is simply an opportunity for a new adventure. I I don't know.
It's boring. It's a boring movie. It's not a kid movie. It's super boring. I don't know one kid who has not been bored during that movie.
Joe likes that movie.
Of course, Joe. Of course, I'm like, I don't know one kid. And she's like, Joe likes that movie. The whole movie?
The whole movie. He's,
really?
He watched it over and over and over again.
God bless you, Joe.
I'm going to disagree.
That's okay. That's fine. I do and not.
I think that it does have a really good story of, like, I mean, it's very unrealistic. I mean, that's probably what Melissa's whole thing is it's super unrealistic.
Doesn't he fly off at one point in balloons up into the sky?
Yeah.
But like, the balloons would pop and he would fall to his death.
Right. So this is the real reason why Melissa hates it. She doesn't want to say it, but it's true.
I don't understand how that's a happy ending. You're not going to have, like, I guess you're going to die eventually after your balloons pop in the atmosphere and you plummet to your bloody, torturous death. If you don't get plucked apart by birds or die of frostbite before the balloons pop.
Dear Pixar, that was her rant, not mine.
Sorry, you talk about it now.
No. I love that. Well, first of all, he ends up in a situation because he's so passionate about not changing,
yep.
Right? And I can totally relate to that. I think that's part of why I like it. It's just I've ended up in a situation because of resisting something that I or just not being able to flex.
Yep.
And so, but in the his journey, he learns that not everything is bad and that change can be good and that maybe, you know, he can see or reach the goals that he wanted. It just doesn't look
the way. Maybe you can go to heaven on a balloon.
That's not what it's saying. It's saying that he could get his house to Paradise Falls by using a whole lot of helium-filled balloons. Lisa, I don't understand why you struggle understanding the scientific proof of this. I mean, it's on TV.
Then it must be true.
It's real. So no, it's just a good, I don't know. I believe it's a good feel good movie, but it does teach that life doesn't, sometimes you can get to where you want to be. It's just not going to look, getting there is not going to look the way that you thought it would be. And that is actually something that I heard last year in a business encouragement meeting thing. It's just life isn't always going to look the way that you thought it would be, and or you'll get there, it just doesn't look like the way you thought it would. So that's the last of them.
And if all else fails, you can always sit in a lawn chair, hook up some balloons, and float up into the sky.
I mean, buckle yourself in.
I just I shouldn't have that much of a problem with this movie. I mean, I watch a girl fly across the ocean with her rooster friend. I don't know why I struggle with the lawn chair floating into the sky so much. Ugh.
So that's the last of the movies, but I would just encourage you, if it's not one of these movies, find things to help teach your kids about resilience, because it is just a necessary tool in life. We all get knocked down. It's important to learn to get back up again.
I agree. And I would say, I think that we gave you 20 recommendations this week, so we're not going to give you any.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I am Messy Bunmamas.
This is Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
This is Messy Poop.
Messy buns, you silly.